You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it must get done, it has to be done, it will get done because you'll do it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, but if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. The first thing up there, African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Well, I have that right there. Let me put this right here. You can also go to Baba Oshi in the search, put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and right away they'll take you right there to those programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Quake, who appreciate you. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Now, I'm going to tell you about two new programs and not mention the ones we've been mentioning before because we still only have four programs, but that's cool. I mean, it's not cool because we need to fill up this time. I know Brother Elliot would love to fill up the time. But my program, this program, African Perspective, your program, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Baba Wes Johnson, Our Story. Our Story, Baba Wes Johnson, out of New Orleans, Louisiana. On Sunday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan, has a program here with us from 5 to 6 on Sunday. So those are the programs here. And, of course, Brother Elliot on Friday at 8 p.m. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m. The number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. All right. Let's get to the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Then we'll get to our guest. That's right. I let you know who it was a few days ago and last week. That's right. The Black People's Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones. So, and listen to this, Brother Franklin Jones, because I know you're listening. Every time I have a topic, when I get to the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, it kind of deals with that. You know, that's the spirit, brother. Believe me. We refuse to write softness into our stories for you to feel comfortable. We refuse to let anyone but us own our narrative. We refuse to believe your lies again. You will not spit in the face of our fathers and think his children will not spit back in your face. Brother Ijamua. Urugu has made themselves crystal clear. At the most basic fundamental axiolic level, they have been revealed to those who have eyes. As historically evident, they see us as being here for them to play with in whatever way they choose. And it is our mission to embrace a life of being their toys and pets. They have lied and spit in our faces for so long that it has come to be seen as a virtual part of our relationship with them. In their mind, as historically demonstrated, We are here to be sped on by them and on each other in service to them. We are here to be lied to by them and on each other in service to them. For some of us, those efforts are even taken as divinely sanctioned compliments, as if only through our pacifist reactions will we be rewarded in saving their souls. For their special people, for these special people, we are never to challenge Urugu's divine right to decide our individual and collective fate. But that, as it may, we have never become fully broken, Nasshe. In fact, there have been a gradual reawakening among the courageous among us who know that this could not possibly make human sense. The blatant contradictions have opened my eyes to Urugu's treachery and unchanging and unchangeable nature. These words will never pray forgiveness for what they must do. These words will never pray forgiveness for what we just going to do it. Affirm, I'm spitting back. Affirm, I'm spitting back. November 20th, the work of traditionalists was to look for elements of chaos, gather them and burn them. That was the small part of the work. The large part was to study consistently on the outlook for the elements of cohesion, the way the healer looks for medicine, to gather them, nurture them, strengthen them, and to infuse their essence into the society, strengthening it. Ikwe Arman. Ikwe Arman. There are those who crave power. They seek control over others. They waste lives and lifetimes in self-destructive rampages, seeking to forge others into who they want them to be, while hiding faults and megalomaniacal desires to reveal to the world. Conversely, there are those who desire clarity. They strive to discipline self because they move in righteousness and know that godlikeness is a never-ending process. Warriors choose the latter. Warriors are those who seek to remove chaos and bring cohesion to themselves and our communities. They reach back to locate and bring personal and social cultural medicine to those in need of healing. They are traditionalists because they have found our unchanged way and are applying it as a fundamental tool to our Sankofian return to African sanity. Ashe. Affirm. I decrease the chaos in and increase the cohesion of my community. Ashe. Affirm, I decrease the chaos in and increase the cohesion of my community. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. Love the Inyasasim. Our guest today, brothers and sisters, is always a pleasure, always an honor to talk with Brother Franklin Jones of the Black People's Matrix. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, my brother. It's always a pleasure to be on your program. Are you hearing me loud and clear?
Oh, very much so. Thank you. You're coming in super.
That's great.
Yes, sir.
I love your programming. It's always an honor to be on your program.
Well, I tell you, I try to do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern is to bring some clarity to our situation and hopefully for those who think, but more importantly, to act on the things that we need to do to change the dynamics that are in our community. So, and you and one have been doing it for years, maybe even longer than what I have. You have a number of books. You've been doing it, man. So it's always an honor to have you on the program, you know.
I thank you, Billy. I'm going to get straight to the point here. While it's appreciated, I don't need anyone calling in presenting me with accolades because I don't need my ego stroked. And I won't answer nor entertain any topic presented that are not within the scope of what we're discussing today because those merely become distractions. distractions, and we only have 2 hours to liberate the minds of our people. So I'm not going to entertain in local politics or different subjects. Our people are drowning in disinformation, and it's by deliberate design. The goal now is to show our people that they are drowning in disinformation, so they can then abandon those disinformation and develop the proper truth, the truth that they need to know in order to develop the proper kind of strategies to liberate ourselves. Willie Lynch is a myth. The Bible is a work of fiction. We are not the Jews of a fictional Bible. We are not suffering from a generational curse. All of those are falsehoods. Our people are confused, divided, and demoralized. And this is all by deliberate design. We must gain an accurate understanding of our plight and condition in order to liberate ourselves. Because if our understandings remain flawed, then all of our liberating remedies and strategies that stem from those misunderstandings will also be flawed. This is why white propagandists have fed so much disinformation into the Black community. We must learn the truth in order to free ourselves. And that's the goal of today. We're going to discuss those disinformation. We're going to present the facts showing they are falsehoods. And then we're going to demonstrate the truth of our plight and condition.
I say, let's begin.
You know, it's a shame. You know, we have people who say idiotic things while wearing a straight face. And it's shocking. We are not suffering from the Willie Lynch myth, because that is not how you control a people. The Willie Lynch myth presents what would be the least effective method used for controlling generations of people. It's simply not how true brainwashing works. True brainwashing requires systems being constantly reapplied and reinforced upon a targeted population. If not, its effect would lessen with each new generation, not remaining more enslaved as we witnessed with our people. The fact that our people still remain mentally enslaved, in fact, worse now than during the 60s, it shows that it's another system being deployed against our minds. Our minds are shaped in ways that serve the system of white supremacy through the white society's monopoly over information set into our minds. We are being subliminally programmed daily. Those who insist that we are the Jews of the Bible, their minds have been limited to be a book that was imposed upon us during the lowest time in our history. When we limit our understanding of our plight to a Bible that was brutally beaten into the minds of our ancestors, we are mentally enslaved. The proof that millions of our people are mentally enslaved is easily proven by the fact that we have Black people walking around with computers in their pocket with access to unlimited verifiable information, yet continue to believe a religion that was brutally beaten into the minds of our enslaved ancestors. That's mental slavery. I speak the truth, and the truth doesn't care who it offends. It's time to wake up our people to the truth. Now, so often our people always throw around the words COINTELPRO, COINTELPRO. We throw around that word, but don't we ever study what was actually done? We are under a system that was implemented in response to the COINTELPRO program in 1968. The fact that we are more divided at any time in history. We are more self-hating than any time in history. And our collective aggression has been shifted away from the white society and redirected towards our own people. And this is all by deliberate design. Our culture has fundamentally changed in ways benefiting the system of white supremacy. And it's always by deliberate design when the oppressed changes in ways benefiting the oppressors. We have been socialized to think in ways that serve and protect the interests of the white society. And we must acknowledge it in order to liberate ourselves from it. There are 4 ways to brainwash an entire generation of people: by what they're taught, by what they hear, by what they see, and through repetition. Because the white society controls the education we're taught, the media images we see, the societal narrative that we hear, and through repetition, they brainwash millions of us to think in ways that benefit the white society. And then they dumb down our minds and distract us to believe that we're being controlled by a silly Willie Lynch myth. We are being controlled through subliminal programming. It's embedded within the education we're taught, within the news reports we see, and even within movies and TV shows when we think we're being entertained. We must recognize it in order to liberate ourselves. Subliminal programming is real. Subliminal programming are messages that are designed to bypass the conscious mind and become embedded into the subconscious mind. The reason why many Black people are now self-hating, revere whites, is not a slave syndrome. It's the result of the white society's monopoly over information that we receive. Regardless of how intelligent people are, it was possible to control the input of information that's set into the minds of us people. It's easily possible to control what they will think, how they believe, and how they'll behave. This is what the white society has done to us, and we must recognize it. Go on, my brother.
Yes, I, hey.
Okay.
I'm listening intentively and going to respond when accordingly.
Okay, but, great.
You know, because okay, I'm going to tell you, because what we talked about prior to the program airing is what we're saying is the real problem for us as African people, not just here in America, but globally. This European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is a global phenomenon, and it has affected humanity deeply. Why do you think even around the world, people who shun dark hues, the people in India, you know, when they developed that caste system and made the darker skinned people who are melanated the outcasts, the untouchables, people in Southeast Asia, people in the South America, in Brazil, there's more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. But you don't see them running a damn thing there. And on TV, you don't see them unless they're servants. Unless they're servants. And what you and what you're seeing today with the presidency of Donald J. Trump is the racism, the sexism, and all the deviant that is happening. The two Negroes who are out front Negroes, Tim Scott and the other Negro, are looking sad because Donald Trump hasn't appointed them to any significant cabinet position and will not. They may throw something at those Negroes as a pacification for not only them personally, but for us as well. Because when you consider that, supposedly, I don't believe it, that almost 25% of American African men who voted for him. And if that is the case, and if that is truly true, what we're talking about today is vitally important.
I'm glad you mentioned that this is a global situation. It is truly global. And I'm going to use an example of what happened in South Africa. When the South Africans, when the Afrikaners, the Dutch, the white, was giving power over to the black majority, there were fears. There were fears of black retribution. The U.S. government, CIA, informed the white Dutch of South Africa they didn't have to worry about black retribution as long as they controlled the media. And they controlled the media, and they used the media to shift the collective aggression of the South Africans away from the white Dutch and towards expat Africans coming in. They started propaganda saying that the other Africans coming to Nigeria were stealing jobs, were bringing in diseases, were stealing, committing most of the crime. And this shifted the collective aggression of those blacks, the Africans, the South Africans, away from those who have been oppressing them for hundreds of years. And they're attacking the other Africans coming there. Now, the U.S. government knew it would work through media propaganda because it worked on African-Americans. Because they shifted African-American collective aggression away from the white society and redirected against ourselves through media programming. Our people constantly believe we're our worst enemy.
I hate that. I hate that saying. Because it's by design. Because it says, Brother Franklin, you recognize an enemy. And what is an enemy? For those who say that we're owners, we don't understand what an enemy is. But we say, aside from the true enemy we do have, but we're our own worst enemy. So therefore, I got to disrespect you. I got to eliminate you. I got to kill you. Because you are the own worst enemy. You are the cause. Not this cracker who has been doing this for hundreds of years, but you. It's the same thing that you just mentioned about South Africa.
Yeah.
You know? So instead of charging the Caucasians who have miseducated him, kept him in these apartheid conditions, and I mean, you can see divided lines of communities where, you know, the Shantu or the Soweto ghettos and so forth, they did that. But then when they're asking some folks to come to South Africa because these brothers in Nigeria and sisters and brothers and sisters in Nigeria and Ghana and a few other places are coming there for jobs, and you attack them, that they're the problem. Because, no, the son of a bitches who didn't educate you are the problem.
Yes. And this mindset among many South Africans is by design. And it's always by design when the oppressed starts thinking and behaving in ways benefiting their enemies. The white society, through their monopoly over the information, they shape our minds. We to understand this programming, you know, so often people say COINTELPRO, but here's what exactly what happened. In 1968, in response to the unprecedented unified black protest, white social scientists were hired by the Kerner Commission to study the African-American population. They called it the Negro problem. Their mission was to find the aggravating core factors for the protest and develop remedies. We are under the system they created. It's called an ideological subversion system. An ideological subversion system is when those in power feed disinformation to a targeted population. Disinformation, misinformation, and unrelenting fraudulent propaganda that is designed to make the targeted population think and behave in ways that are against their own interests and in ways serving the interests of those who are deploying the ideological subversion system. The whites, upon studying the African-American population, even though I'm saying African-American, this program is used globally. Upon studying the African-American population, the first thing they determined was an aggravating factor was blatant white racism. So therefore, they abandoned the use of blatant white racism and started using more covert tactics, not in your face. They also learned that the problem was also caused by an elevated unifying black collective self-esteem brought on by the emergence of the Black Pride movement. So they determined that they could prevent black unified protests by keeping our collective self-esteem very low. This is why we're constantly inundated with negative demoralizing information about ourselves. Demoralization is the first step in brainwashing the people. When people constantly receive negative information about themselves, this demoralizes them, divides them, and it shifts their collective aggressions away from the white society and redirects.
Hello? Are you there, brother? You're breaking up on me.
Ourselves.
Brother Franklin, can you hear
this
me?
Been done to-
Brother Franklin, can you hear me?
What? Hello?
Yeah, you're breaking
Hello?
Up. Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, yes. They learned that while the oppressors, while the white society, through the weaponry advantage of guns, cannons, and rifles, were able to invade and enslave Africans, they cannot maintain peace with them indefinitely unless their minds have been manipulated to allow it, to facilitate it. Because here's what they learned. When people are oppressed for long durations, their collective aggressions toward their oppressors will continue to grow until acts of massive rebellion happens. It's inevitable. The oppressed always eventually rebels against their oppressors. It's an inherent response within the collective psyche when people are held in a long-term oppression. This is what was happening during the 1960s. So they realized that they had to shift black collective aggressions away from the white society and redirect against ourselves. This is the reason why they exaggerate the propaganda campaign of black-on-black crime, black-on-black crime. They make us afraid of ourselves. We are being manipulated to think in ways that serve the system of white supremacy. It is called socialized. Socialized is a common term throughout history. Socialized is when the oppressors exploit their monopoly over information and media images that are fed into the minds of the oppressed to manipulate them to think and behave in ways that are against their own interests. People are easy to manipulate when they are unaware of what's being done to them. And our people are clueless of what's being done to us. As long as our people think as a religious, believing biblical fairy tales, we will remain mentally enslaved by the white society. We have to elevate our minds above believing in idiotic things. And we must understand it is social science. You have to study social science. Social science is the branch of the study of how societies function and how people within a society function. I'll give you an example. Have you noticed that we never ever hear negative narratives about white people in the media? Never. Do you know why? It's a social science. Because according to social scientists, any negative narratives about white people undermine their position of dominance. Therefore, they falsely exalt their group because it conveys a subliminal message that whites are inherently superior and they are supposed to rule over us. These are all social scientists. This is the truth they keep our minds from. They keep us believing in biblical fairy tales and idiotic things rather than studying the social science. Now, if you critically think for a second, there are black people listening, 80 years old, 90 years old, who have never heard a positive narrative ever stated about black people. Everything about us are negative. Now, when you critically think, can you not see how cartoonishly unrealistic that actually is? It is a propaganda programming. Social science describes it as instilling a value system into the minds of Black people that makes us adhere to the authority of the white society. It makes us not only prefer white dominance, it makes us demand it. Mm. When we see people like Candace Owens and the Coolidge you spoke about, yes, they have weaker minds, but many of us are all affected to some different degree. Our minds are shaped by the white society's monopoly over information. And they realized this in 1968, and they start programming us. And they start programming us during our core problem is most Black people are clueless to what's being done to us. I'll give you an example, another one. We know, for example, we learn more Black racially affirming facts from each other than we do so within our schools. That's the social science. Because in order for a dominant group to maintain a position of social dominance over the oppressed, they must condition the oppressed from a very early age to accept their subordinate status within the society. To do so, the education given to the oppressed must be the type that denies them of a racially affirming curriculum. When the oppressed are denied of a racially affirming curriculum and talk only positive things about the oppressors, this psychology assigns us, makes us accept our subordinate status within our society. During our school age, from the age of 11 to 12, Black people are being programmed to think in ways that serve the system of white supremacy. And we're clueless of this fact. We're so clueless of this fact that our principals, our teachers, facilitate the programming. This is why many Black people today no longer have any desire for Black liberation. Most Black people only want a comfortable position within the system of white supremacy. Our minds have been, collective minds have been shaped in a way that serves the white society, and it's by deliberate design. And as long as we believe in idiotic things, we're not going to liberate ourselves. We must recognize what's happening to us. The great Malcolm X said, only a fool would allow his enemies to educate his children. College G. Woodson also wrote in The Miseducation of a Negro, what's being done to us within our schools. But because the white society dictates what we should listen to, they dictate our minds, we don't focus on these factors. We have been socially engineered to think and behave in ways that serve the white society. This is all possible because people's behaviors align with the information they've been receiving. Also, if you notice that every study results that we hear favors whites over Blacks, every health result favors whites over Blacks. And you hear Black people saying, you know we're sick, right? You know we're sick, right? We accept the narratives. The reason why all studies result favors white over Black is because doing so conveys a subliminal message that white people are inherently superior to Black people. That's constantly telling us that they're better than us and everything. It makes us feel inferiority. And the inferiority has nothing to do with the silly slave syndrome myth. It is directly connected to the white society's monopoly over information. The stuff I'm telling you, they don't teach it in your school. You can get a PhD and you'll hear the stuff. Because this information is kept from the masses. We are being brainwashed. The truth is we actually have the greatest narratives, but those narratives are kept from the public. Our greatness has been expunged from the minds of the masses, and we are marginalized. And most of us don't understand how this works. Most people, Black people walk around with this negative assessment of ourselves. Those who say, we know we're cursed. Or there are those who say that slavery irreparably damaged us. Those who say those things don't know that their minds have been turned against themselves. Instilling those beliefs into our minds serves the system of white supremacy. According to the U.S. government doctrine of psychological warfare, it says the most effective method used for controlling a large targeted population without physically fighting them is by inundating them with fraudulent propaganda that misleads them to believe that their core problem is an internalized one. When people have been made to believe that a core problem is an internalized one, it's demoralize them, divide them, make them self-doubting, and it makes them more compliant with the oppressor's dominance over their lives. Those Black people go around saying that that slavery damaged us, or that we're suffering from a slave syndrome, their minds have been fixed in ways benefiting the system of white supremacy. We must elevate from believing such idiotic things. But the reason why many Black people follow into that believing those idiotic things, because Black people, the truth of our greatness is withheld from us. We are given an education to start with slavery, that we were nothing until they enslaved us. That has an effect upon your psyche. We are taught within our schools, the only thing most Black children graduate from high school believing is that we invented peanut butter. When the truth is that most inventions that revolutionized the world were either, in fact, invented by Black people or directly inspired by inventions made by Black people. These are the facts that's hidden. Now, some of you say, damn, how can you say that? That's because most people don't understand that your perception of reality is not reality. Your perception of reality is shaped by the narrative that are fed into our society. The white society controls the narrative, so they feed narratives into our society that shapes our perception in ways that exalts white and marginalized Black people. This, everything they do is a social science, and they do this by exalting themselves and marginalizing us. This creates false assumptions within this society that aids in maintaining white social dominance over the Black population. Until we recognize this and develop kind of strategies against it, we will remain forever mentally enslaved by the white society and we can be ruled over forever. The time of believing in dumb shit is over. It's time to function with its truth. And they are social scientists, not Willie Lynch, not Jesus. They are social scientists that are used to maintaining white social dominance over the Black population. And the truth is, if white was superior, were really superior, they wouldn't have to tell so many lies or store so many facts to convey it. Nor would they have to work so hard behind the scenes to handicap those they call inferior. The myth of white superiority is only propagated because the white society controls all the narratives. Until you recognize this science. And we're so complacent, we're so programmed. Even those listening right now, we send our children to school and our children come up and say, let me see your report card. Oh, you got A's? And we're happy. We're in a system that we've normalized the system that is designed to keep us mentally enslaved. So we do nothing about it. Then we get on these programs and we keep throwing up these idiotic ideologies, or we complain and complain and complain and complain and complain. But the truth is, we must understand the truth, because when people learn the truth, there's an inherent response upon learning the truth. When people learn the truth and they see the danger that presents before them, they remove themselves from the danger. And this is a response within the collective psyche. Once you see, so our goal is to make our people see the truth and stop believing idiotic beliefs. My brother, I'm taking a pause because he's been speaking. I know I've been speaking a long time.
Okay, dear brother. I had a pause too. Okay.
Okay, no problem. Listen, I want people, okay, listen, I can break it down. Now there are those who are adamantly insisting William Lynch is true. Okay, let me break these false beliefs down. First of all, let's go to the Bible. The Bible has the strongest hold upon the demise of Black people. Mm-hmm. The strongest hold upon Black people, okay? Here are the facts. Those who wrote the Bible were the Romans. The Romans were a people who engaged in massive orgies, bestiality, incest, sodomy, homosexuality. These are the people who wrote the Bible. And they practiced those behaviors before, after, and during the writing of the Bible, mm-hmm. Okay? Also, the fact that the Bible was also written by history's proven most ungodly group of people. They've been the most ungodly throughout history. Also, the Bible condones slavery. These combined factors are totally disqualifying the Bible from being the true words of God. Also, we know that when the Europeans converted Africans into their religion, into Christians, it had nothing to do with saving the souls of Africans so that Africans would join them in heaven during the afterlife. This is an irrefutable fact, because the early white Christians believed that Africans had no soul,
right,
and that heaven was whites only. So therefore, it's clearly that when they converted us, it had nothing to do with saving our souls. The true reason was to embed the myth of a white God into our mind. Once the myth of a white God was embedded into our mind, this creates an adoration towards white within our psyche. This adoration towards white is then transposed upon white people. It makes Black people feel subservient towards white. Therefore, make Black people into better slaves to white people, and it also aid in colonizing of Africa. This is what it did. These are all common sense facts. The time believing in idiotic things is over. Now, there are those who say, okay, it's Willie Lynch. The truth about it, the Willie Lynch letter was written by Dr. Ashanti in 1970. He wrote it. This is why when experts examined the letter, they found the letter had modern words that are inconsistent with the 1700 date. Proved that the letter is a fraud. Now, when the brother wrote it, he wrote it to point out our division. But white propagandists took the information and they spread it throughout our community. Some people, many Black people, received emails of the Willie Lynch letter from unsolicited people, because they knew that by making us believe that our condition.
Before before the email was created and the computers, many people disseminated that letter. You know,
and when many
he wrote it,
because
he wrote it, the computers weren't happening at the time.
But yeah, yeah, I know.
It was disseminated nationwide. I remember having a discussion about it and on it back in the 80s, you know, mm-hmm. the 70s and 80s. And our belief was that this was some person in Virginia who came to Virginia, you know, and told the captive owners and holders of a better way to deal with the people that you have captive because of the amount of money that you're spending, you know.
Allow me to respond.
Please.
Yes. What they did with Woody Lynch Lit, what makes it work, is they attached a little bit of truth with a lie, okay? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
What was actually done to our ancestors was a tactic called seasoning. It was called seizing. Mm-hmm. There are different names throughout the South, but a common one was seasoning. Mm-hmm. When a slave owner was selling a slave, the buyer would ask the seller, is this slave well seasoned? And is this slave? And he said, yes, my slave is well seasoned. Mm-hmm. He's well seasoned.
Now, that means he was obedient. Now, that means he was obedient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To prove that the slave is well seasoned, the buyer would strike the black man in the face. And the black man put his head down, don't respond, he's well seasoned. He'll walk over to a female, and to see if she's well seasoned, he'll fondle her genitals. If she let him do it, don't respond, she's well seasoned. Now that process was by brutally beating and torturing. But that does not program our minds to continue being brainwashed down generational lines. That's not how true brainwashing is achieved. Mm-hmm. They took the atrocities and they attached it, which makes it sound real. We are not programmed by a slave syndrome myth. The fact proves this. According to the slave syndrome myth, black people are programmed to never support each other. But why is it then that during the 1960s, African Americans implemented the most successful and the largest unified protest in U.S. history? More than any other minority group. Totally proved that it wouldn't listen to the BS. But you see how the story people buy into it? And once black people accept that the narrative is true, it harms you in your psyche because you're walking around feeling that something's wrong with us. And then you don't even have faith in your people's ability to liberate yourself because you believe we're programmed. And the programming, I think it's Woody Lynch, it takes our mind away from the current white people who are brainwashing us and sends our minds to a myth in the past. Our minds have been distorted in ways that serve the system of white supremacy. We must function based on what is truth in order to liberate ourselves. We have now been in this country for more than 400 years. Mm-hmm. If you're walking around believing that we're controlled by a slave syndrome, you believe that Jesus is going to save us, you are among the mentally enslaved and you are ignorant of your own ignorance. And your ignorance is what hinders our liberation. I will not be silent to appease black ignorance, especially when it's black ignorance that keeps us mentally enslaved.
And that's true. And the problem is that, I just lost my brother. Okay, he'll be calling back. But the problem, of course, is that we, you know, when he talked about the 60s and the implementation of this mind control system, it was also a time of African liberation, African people coming together. Brother Frank, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost the
connection. That's okay. Okay. All right.
Now, I want to say to the listeners, I'm not attacking you. I'm not attacking your beliefs. I have been researching these frivolous myths for more than 45 years. And I'm just sitting through the facts. And you don't have to listen to me. Go and research these facts. We have our people walking around with computers in our pockets, with access to unlimited verifiable information, yet believing in dumb shit. That's better than slavery. And some of you are offended by me presenting facts that you believe in dumb shit. How can we liberate ourselves believing in idiotic, asinine beliefs? We must function with what is true. We are in a system they created. We don't have, like, for example, we don't have true leaders. So the topic I'm talking to you about, you won't hear from it, the so-called black leaders.
No.
Because the black leaders are puppets for the white establishment. They only show up when a black man gets shot by a police, and they give the illusion of having leadership. But we don't have leadership. We have puppets now. Remember when J. Edgar Hoover said, the next time there'll be a black Messiah, we will create him.
Right.
Because
they killed the legitimate ones neutralized them, all of them.
And puppets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we hear the story about Al Sharpton saying was an informant for the FBI, and he tried to justify by saying his life was in danger, so he went to the FBI. Come on. Wake up. We don't have real leadership. If we had real leadership, we would have black people who would spoke out against the negative social engineering of our culture through the hip-hop industry. There have been black voices that said, we shouldn't call somebody N-word. We shouldn't sag our pants. Mm-hmm. But no one's saying it.
Right.
Malcolm X would have spoken against it. Dr. King would have spoken against it. But we have no leaders. So we have these so-called leaders going around calling themselves by the N-word. Our people are clueless of the war that's been waged against us. Therefore, those who know the truth must teach, African proverb. We must teach the truth whether it fills the room or clears it out. Because we are called to awaken the sheep, not to entertain the many enslaved goats.
Mm-hmm. See,
we have to understand. The white society have created a system. And the system has created is now a well-oiled functioning machine. It works to the white society's monopoly over information. Now, think the white the ruling elite created a social science, and the social science is used to steer society toward the objective of the ruling elite. To believe that the white ruling elite would develop a social science that allows them to steer society toward their objective, and not use that science for manipulating black people, you'd be a damn fool. Think also, all information that we receive comes from our oppressors. Now, so often people say, why are black people so self-hating? Why are we too negative of ourselves? Rather than asking that question, ask who controls what black people believe about ourselves and who benefits when we're divided and self-loathing. The white society does. It's a logical deduction, but many of us aren't thinking. Many of us find it easier to believe in a biblical fairy tale and slavery than open our eyes and learn the truth. Our core problem is most black people, because of how they socialize our minds, we are clueless of the true underlying relationship that presently exists between we and the white society. Here is the truth. Although all white governments publicly profess equality for each other, they are unrelentingly committed towards the preservation of their nation's white dominance. And black people in the 1960s.
Brother Franklin, we lost you again, dear brother.
This among the ruling elite, given their long history of brutally mistreating black people. These concerns and these fears result in these white societies using their same social science against the minds of black people. We are being socialized every day, even when we're watching movies, when we're watching TV. You know, when you watch those detective shows, and on the detective shows, you keep seeing a black man kills another black man, and a white detective comes and solves it, bringing peace to the family. Those, when you keep watching those programming of a black on black crime and a white person solving it, this changes you on a subliminal level. It makes you start perceiving yourself as your own worst enemy and revering whites. Think that the African Americans represent only now 50% of the U.S. population. But yet when you watch those shows, black people are disproportionately short of those shows because it's a programming. It's a program that keeps our minds thinking a way to serve the white society. Many black people insist that we're not oppressed, and we're our worst enemy. The reason why most black people say they're unoppressed, because most black people don't realize that when the white society, when they abandoned the blatant systems of oppressions in the past, they developed covert methods. Covert methods allow them to continue their oppression without any black retribution. We must elevate our mind. Any black man who says we're our worst enemy has been brainwashed.
See, one of the issues and problems that we face is the lack of understanding how this whole system operates. In the 60s, as I was saying when you had a technical problem, in the 60s, we were talking about black power and brother and sister and so forth, you know. And many of us understood that if we're going to liberate ourselves, we must do it. And we can't look to this system. But then the system said, we got to find a way to recapture this. Give them the illusion of inclusion.
Yes.
establish affirmative action programs, give them a tease. And every time there's been something they gave us a tease, there's been huge white backlash, you know.
Yes.
And those things have been eliminated, you know.
Yes.
I mean, I came on the fire department because of affirmative action, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that I could not have competed with the Caucasians? In a fair and equitable challenge, of course. But, I mean,
Yes. Let's
be real. They've always had and always will have in their system advantage because it's their system, you know. And so what happened was they said, well, you know, we got to make these people believe that this system is just as much theirs as it is ours. But we know it's ours because we're going to always control it. But give them that illusion. And then they start to believe that individually, because they understand that collectively is the problem for them. But collectively is a must for us, but then we don't understand it because we're just worried about ourselves. We are hung up on what society has perpetuated: individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what this thing perpetuates consistently. This is the most violent-prone country in the world. In the world.
You're absolutely right. You said two things that I like and I want to address. You talked about affirmative action. When they created the affirmative action legislation, they added white women to it. And they said many congressmen laughed when white women were added to it. Okay? But that was a strategy. Because you know the greatest benefactor of affirmative action was not black people. White women have benefited most by affirmative action. Therefore, the white population has benefited most by white affirmative action. You see, most people understand it. We're being tricked. Black people are the poster child of affirmative action, when in reality, white women have benefited most from it. All studies show that. Also, you talk about the difference between the 1960s and now. The 1960s, yes, they created, when you said they created the illusion of inclusion. My mother told me after the death of Dr. King, she said on television, she kept seeing black people on TV commercials, a bunch of TV commercials with the black people. They started putting black shows on TV. It was a part of the programming to create the illusion that we've arrived. While they created the illusion that we've arrived, then at the same time, they created propaganda that we are our worst enemies. You have arrived, you have arrived, you are your worst enemies. You have arrived, so what's holding you back is your old people. They socially engineered us to perceive ourselves as our worst enemy. This is how they present unified black retribution. That was the programming that they did to us, creates the illusion of equality while keeping us thinking that we're our worst enemy. And here's what this programming also does. This programming also creates what's called a buffer class of black people. A buffer class of black people are those who have been so brainwashed by the programming that they fight against their own people in defense of the white society. Therefore, before those of us who are conscious can even confront the system of white supremacy, we have to often fight against our own people who've been programmed to defend it.
A good example of that is Du Bois. His challenge to Booker T initially, and then, of course, his ugly challenge to Marcus Mosiah Garvey in service to Caucasians. And even the fraternities, the Boule, and so forth, creating these divisions amongst us. You know, Du Bois' challenge to Marcus Garvey was so deep. In fact, that's how J. Edgar Hoover got his start with the manipulation and the covert activities surrounding Marcus Garvey to imprison him, because that's something that the fear of Caucasians globally. Not just in America. A lot of times we only deal with America. We don't understand that this is a global phenomenon. It's everywhere. And the fear is that we will come together and do to them what we have done to us. Retribution. That's all that Trump was hung up on. I am your, you know, because that's the kind of mentality that he has. And that's the kind of mentality that Europeans or Caucasians have. It is not us. We just want you to leave us the alone and let us deal with our business. That's why I said the other day that the Exodus didn't happen. You mentioned the Bible and so forth, and the Hebrews and all that. And many of us claim that we are the Hebrews, you know, and that Pharaoh had us enslaved for 40 years or whatever.
There were no slaves in Africa, in Egypt.
No, of course not.
That's all.
And that's a lie, and that has been proven even by Caucasians. And
yeah,
and
so, yeah, they proved it. Yeah,
exactly.
The whole thing, a fairy tale, and the ancient kingdom of Egypt was built before the first so-called Jew was even born.
Exactly.
So it's impossible who built Egypt. You know, those who believe in idiotic things. So here's the problem with this: usually people have the right to believe what they want to believe. However, that's a luxury the oppressed does not have. The oppressed must function based on what is true. Because if our understandings are flawed, then all of our remedies will be flawed. This is why those who know the truth must teach. You know, they also have another propaganda where they have us believing that millions of us are now saying, we're the true Native Americans. We're the true Native Americans.
Yeah.
That was a propaganda campaign that was spread into our community.
Yeah.
And it's an idiotic one. Okay, now, and it's scientifically proven to be untrue. The bones of ancient of Native Americans, which is found to be over 500 years old, find that their DNA does not match ours. Their DNAs are consistent with those who we currently know to be as the Indians throughout America, not ours.
Right.
They also three children frozen in mountains in Central America. Their bodies were still intact. And you can see them. They don't look like us. They look like the Indians. The propaganda campaign that we are not from Africa is designed to divide us from Native Africans. When we Africans are divided globally, we are stripped of all hopes of ever defeating global white supremacy, okay? Also, that ideology also creates division between we and the true Native Americans. When two oppressed people are divided, the system of white supremacy is stronger. The problem is those of us who are gullible, ignorant, naive get caught up in these fraudulent propaganda. Also, millions of African Americans have taken DNA analysis, which has scientifically proven that we are from Africa. You know, proven.
Yes.
You know, there are these people who believe these things that make no sense at all. Then the most idiotic belief is those black people who say that we made the N-word ours and use it now in power.
Well,
those
because,
who believe that.
Well, because of the propaganda and what these Caucasians have done over the brainwashing of millenniums, hundreds of years, not a millennium, millions, a thousand. But the point being, because even back then, they wanted to prove that they were superior and we were inferior. And everything that they tried to do is to point us in that particular direction. And in many cases, in many places, we have bought into it. We succumb to it. And it's self-hating and loathing. And so therefore, we don't think outside of the imposed boundary that Europeans have placed upon us. You know, I always use this analogy that the European, the Caucasian, has a vice grip on our minds. And when you understand that tool and how it is used, once you clamp it, the vice grip is set. You cannot pull it apart. But there's a knob at the end of the handle. That knob, once you start to turn it, you begin to release the pressure on it. Symbolically, that knob is acquiring knowledge of self, belief in one another, respect and love for one another. And the more you turn it, the more you have. Until finally, you can release it and see the Caucasian, the cracker, the Urugu for who and what he is. Not that you challenge him. Not that you go out and try to do. No, you know who he is. You discard his ass and you move on your program of self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. For us. Now, the other thing, Brother Franklin, we cannot do it here. This is the belly of the beast. This is the war machine of white supremacy. England is the mindset and the direction. Europe is also part of that program. And they have other places in Central and South, particularly South America, but mostly in what is now called Australia, what is now called New Zealand. They're all over. They're global. Just like the cracker said, the sun never sets on the British Empire. So this is the war machine right here, the United States, Canada, the same thing. You know, well, listen, I want to take a break. I'm going to take a break. We come back for the break. We'll take your calls. You're talking today with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix. And basically what we're talking about is the disinformation program that continues to happen and how we fall victim to it. So we're going to have a lot to talk about family. So we'll be right back. You stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah. That's downtime with Melvin Jones. One of these is related to Brother Franklin Jones, huh? A lot of Joneses. Keeping up with the Joneses. All right. Brother Franklin Jones, are you there with me?
Yes, my brother, I'm here.
All right, good.
Hey, before you take the first call, I want to say something. There's something called the herd mentality. The herd mentality is when people conform to the beliefs held by their group, regardless of how ignorant those beliefs are. White oppressive forces use the herd mentality to create a mental prison for the minds of Black people. And through this herd mentality, people will believe ignorant things. And what demonstrates this, nothing more greater than the narrative, when Black people say the dumbest thing while wearing a straight face. And that is when Black people says we made the N-word R and using it now empowers us. There's no statement more dumber than that. But look how many millions of us are saying.
Hold on, because I truly agree with you. There is nothing dumber than that. To take a word that is called.
They don't even know how ignorant it sounds because they've normalized it.
Yeah.
When everyone is saying, people will otherwise intelligent people will say some dumb crap, and that's one of them.
And all the other words that we use to describe us and to talk about our women, calling them, you know, what they call them, you know, all of this, man. You know,
that was achieved through negative media. That was achieved through negative media social engineering. Those who control the people's media images are able to steer their culture because people become those derogatory media depictions of themselves that they accept as being their reality. Because the white society controls our media images, they tell us how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to dress. This allows them to have many of us acting like ghetto buffoons and dressed like sagging clowns and calling ourselves by the N-word. This is not scapegoating. This is the truth. The truth that our people need to learn. The reason why they condition us to call ourselves by the N-word is because when we call ourselves brothers and sisters, this had a unifying effect upon us during the 1960s. That unifying effect was contributed to the unified Black protest. So they socially engineered us to call ourselves by the N-word, which makes it easier to divide our ranks. When we call ourselves by the N-word, we also dehumanize each other. It's easy to kill each other. We have to learn these social sciences in order to liberate ourselves.
It's also, you know, I never forget, and we'll never forget, when I was at our EDI, Executive Development Institute, at Dillard University in New Orleans, going into the area where they sell the school paraphernalia and so forth, the bookstore, listening to like NPR, and they had Sister Soulja on there and some others, and she was talking about how she can't get record deals because they're not giving people who are talking about consciousness, who are talking about and rapping about positive things, you know, they're going after those who are willing to do gangster rap and so forth. And one other segment of that particular program was a Caucasian who had went to this conference. Not necessarily a conference, but a meeting of record executives and prison executives and those controlling things about how they're going to infuse our community, get rid of conscious rap and infuse it with gangster rap and have us degrading and demeaning one another and our women, and then causing us to shoot and kill one another in our community. And thereby, when this was the prison boom, the private prison boom that was taking place across this country, you know, because this country imprisons more people than any country on the planet. Any country on the planet, this country, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Exactly. And so, and our numbers are not commensurate with our numbers are not commensurate with our population size, and I still believe it's more than 15%, that we're more than 15%.
Oh, yes.
But they are by
their numbers. That's the part of the psychological warfare.
Sure. But we're over 50% of the prison population, and that's what needs to be discussed.
Okay.
See, and that was by design when they implemented this kind of program. You know,
hey, let me say something real quick about the prison system. I used to work in the federal penitentiary, right? And check out how they would conceal numbers. In the prison that I worked in Atlanta, there was 90% Black people. But on the paper, it said 68% African Americans, and the other blacks were called others. The blacks who were from the Caribbean, blacks who were Africans. And that's how they shifted to make it look like only it was 68% blacks. When you walked around that penitentiary, all you saw was mostly blacks. And I started reading the data. The others included Africans, Caribbeans, other black people. Mm-hmm. You see how they shift the numbers to make it look as though it's not predominantly black. But they target us. That's how the system works.
And it is to their benefit. It is to their benefit, especially when you consider what they've been doing with prison labor, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's always been the case in the history of this country. And that's why I would propose, I wish I had the money. I wish I could win that Mega Millions Friday to have the money to bring to the table our people who are not bought and sold out. There ain't in a fraternity, sorority, nothing like that. They ain't in corporate America. They ain't in none of that shit. These are brothers and sisters with the intelligence and the commitment to change this dynamic. And we're doing it collectively. And so we're going to state to the brothers and sisters in this country and globally, this is the information we're going to study. To hell with the public school system, the program schools. Yes. This is the deal, because this is liberating. This is leading us to self-determination. This will lead us to sovereignty. We ain't listening to none of this crap no more about none of these Negroes, none of these social scientists. Hell with that. This is the deal that we're going to deal with.
Instead of just focusing on the white racism that's still being deployed against us, also focus on how is it that they have our minds fixed where we do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
How is it, with all the white racism, how is it that we do nothing about it? That's the programming. Once you understand, when you look at that factor, that you understand how our minds have been socially engineered. We do nothing about it.
Well, that's
because
what I propose will do definitely something about it, because we are kicking all that madness to the curb and we're infusing it with the knowledge of self. We're talking about the beginnings of us as African people. We're talking about all the things that have happened to us and continue to happen to us. We're going to talk about and discuss and make programs that will be implemented by us to make sure that they're timely and make sure that they're being done. They're being implemented, because this is the liberation of the African mind that is so necessary. I remember, you know, I've been in this quite a long time. You know, I'm a product of the 60s. I grew up in the 60s. You know, the decade you're born in, the following decade is where you really grow up. I was born in the early 50s. So in the early 60s and 65, in the middle, in the last, I clearly understood what was happening. And then clearly showed and seen in the 70s when I got that job at the fire department and other people got jobs and so forth, how they allowed us, wanted us to hook us in to believe that this is just as much ours as it is theirs, while all the while maintaining the dominance and control that they would never relinquish. And foolishly, we thought, because now we got a congressman. Oh, we have a senator, Edward Brooks of Massachusetts, even though he's a Republican. Oh, we got others in we got mayors, you know, constantly. And so now here we have all these people. We have more people, Brother Franklin, as you know, in public office than ever before, and our condition is worse.
Yes.
You know, it's because it's illusion. It is an illusion. And this is never made and never has been made and never will be made for us.
But
I would say that this group of people that I'm talking about, they're not part of that boule. They're not part of the social leadership that Caucasians have. They're not the ones that they throw out there. To me, even if you have a job within the system, and I always believe that you cannot be a member of corporate America and still have an African-centered mindset, because you have to deal with and live by the dictates of corporate America. And, of course, the money that you have, the six-figure salary you may have, you don't want to lose that. You don't want to lose the opportunity for you to live out where where we ain't at, you know, and have your kids go to the schools where we ain't at, you know, and then be able to do good and then send them to Ivy League and so forth. I'm still sick and tired of seeing, sick and tired of seeing stuff on the computer about the first African-Americans to this day in 2025 talking about they've done this and they've done that. Everything is always compared to what Caucasians have done. To hell with them. To hell with them. They have never been nothing but liars, copycats, manipulators, underminers. That's who they are. That's who they are. But yet, one of the things that we don't understand is how slick they are and that we fall for it.
They lied to us from the beginning. They've always been lying to us. And even now, education is indoctrination. Media is manipulation. And religion is control. Everything's a lie. If you're not a critical thinker that questions the validity of all information you receive from the white society, they've already mentally enslaved you.
That's right.
No exception.
That's right.
It's also called thinking without actually thinking.
Yeah. You'll fall prey. You'll fall to it.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You have to think outside of those imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed on us. You have to release that vice grip that they have on our minds. You know, and then you have to help others to do the same.
Do you know the fact is that there's no black person in this country that can validate their negative assessments or beliefs about our people without relying on information that comes from the white society? Think about that fact. There is no black person who can validate their negative assessments of us without relying on information that comes from the white society. A white society that maintains their dominance and control over us by keeping us believing the fraud and worse about ourselves. Those black people who don't critically think never pay attention. I've heard black people say, I wish black lives better than black people. You ignorant, idiotic fool. You don't know that black life doesn't matter to black people because you're getting information from the white society. The white society wants to keep you thinking the fraud and worse about ourselves because it gives a divide that's easier to control. Wake up. Ignorant of their own ignorance. The naive and gullible are always the easiest victim of the white propagandist, fraudulent propaganda campaign.
But see, you see what the trap, of course, is. That's why we have to separate ourselves totally in all facets. Because white, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is in everything they do. Just like Francis Cress Wellsman said, I don't use the word white supremacy because, number one, they're not white like we're not black.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You know, we span the spectrum of light, bright, and damn near white, and they Caucasians, they Europeans. That's what they is.
Whether you like it or not, they literally owns our interpretation of ourselves.
Yes.
And
yes.
They've weaponized it against us.
Yes.
They write our history books that tells we come from nothing. They control our statistics, our societal narratives. And everything they tell us about ourselves are black racially demoralizing and devaluing. That's a programming. That's a program that's been done to us. We didn't function based upon those fraudulent propaganda campaigns. You know, earlier you said they believe they're superior to us. I'll be honest, no. It is only the white masses, the sheep population of whites, who believe they're superior to us. The ruling white elites know they're not because they know our true narratives. Because the ruling white elites are the ones who distorted facts. They distorted facts because, according to social scientists, a people function based upon the information they receive by themselves. And a future is inspired by a past history of greatness. So the white society has whitewashed history and whitewashed facts to falsely bolster the collective self-esteem of their racial group and to give their group a fraudulent path that inspires their future. This is why they portray Africa's ancient Egyptians as being Caucasian.
Yeah.
Even though the pyramids were built by Africans thousands of years long before the arrival of the first Greeks and Arabs in the 7th century.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that the white society is falsely scripted. It is falsely scripted. Through this false scription, the collective self-esteem of the white society has been falsely bolstered at the expense of the collective self-esteem of the black population. It is still the value system into the masses that aids in maintaining white social dominance over black people. But a black person has,
to me, that, go on. The issue of ancient Kemet is a serious issue for us because many of us know in our hearts and minds that it is us. But yet and still, we still go for the narratives that Europeans have been perpetuating. Even though in 1974, you know, Dr. Theophilo Benga, and of course the great Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop,
yes,
at a symposium in 1974 in Cairo. They were the only two Africans there, and they were the only two Africans and the only two people, period, who were ready for the discussion, ready for the debate. They kicked their ass. The smoking gun was the melanin dosage test. And he could take some pit of the mummy DNA, put it under the microscope, and determine how much melanin that they had in their body.
Do you know that's been also verified in 2012, 2013, when an American company that specialized in DNA analysis performed DNA analysis on several Egyptian mummies, and their DNA all showed that they were African.
To that man's dismay.
Yeah. Sub-Saharan African.
Yes.
But see, that information is suppressed from the public. They don't allow that information because they want to maintain the false narratives that they were white. Creating the perception that they are white benefits the white society. According to social science, perception is greater than reality.
Right.
So they create perceptions that aid in maintaining white social dominance.
And
our people are clueless of this reality.
Right. And because you don't do any research, you don't read, you don't go outside of what Caucasians have told you that you shouldn't go, you know, to get the information. Because it's always been there. It has always been there. I've known what I've known for years. That's why when the documentary, and brothers and sisters who are listening, please go to YouTube, put in Great Pyramid K 2019. It tells you who built the pyramids and how they were built. It's logical. It's rational. Do it. And so that information has always been there, but yet still after the Diop and then won the debate, the cracker suffers from cognitive dissonance. He suffers from cognitive dissonance. He believes he's superior, even though you have proof. He ignores it. He dismisses it because it doesn't fit his idea of who he is. No, you're not. No, that's me. You know, and you see that in their movies. Still today, when they have movies of Kemet, of Moses and all that kind of bull, all of them are Caucasian. And I was on Facebook. They had this one Arab person, because you know the Arabs came in after the Greeks. First the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and then the Arabs. The Arabs were late. They came in under Islam, and they swept across North Africa, Kemet, Algeria, Libya, Morocco, and so forth, into the Iberian Peninsula. A lot of them were dark-skinned Africans, and you had the Moors who came into that Iberian Peninsula and ruled Spain. Was the influence of Spain for hundreds of years. But yet, they don't want you to know that, and they whitewash everything. They Caucasianize everything.
Go ahead. That's the social science also. And what you just said is the social science. Okay, our people need to learn social science. In order for a dominant society to maintain its position of dominance over the subordinate population, the history taught when a society must endorse the dominant group's position of social dominance. Because the white society's history does not endorse their position of dominance, they've whitewashed history. And they created a history where they're always above black people, thus endorsing their current position of social dominance. If the true history was taught within our school, it would erode the white society's social dominance over black people. Our people would understand the social science of why we're being lied to. They're not putting all that energy into lying just to do it. It serves the system of white supremacy. They can't teach that we educated them, we civilized them, and maintained a dominance over us. They can't teach that they were living in caves while we were building pyramids and maintained a dominance over us. Our people doesn't know. Every time you jump in your car and turn on a GPS, it's a black woman. Every time you turn an engine, it's a black person. Every time you open your refrigerator, a black man. Whenever you use an elevator, a black person. You don't realize this. People don't realize how the system works. They tell you the Wright brothers invented the first plane, but the first black man invented one 3 years earlier. Our people don't realize how they place white faces, and those, by doing that, it keeps us functioning based upon a value system that maintains white dominance. If we knew the truth, their dominance would be eroded.
And not only if we knew the truth, but not only if we knew the truth, but acted on that truth. That's the point.
Yes.
Acted on it. That we got some good callers here. I'm going to open up the phone lines, okay, my brother? To get some folks in,
right.
Get some dialogue in here, because I know how me and you do. All right, Sister Javier. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Sister? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. All right.
I think I'm having some technological trouble, but I'm just, this program today is so powerful. And I wanted to thank your great guest, the brother. I was just so moved. He said he's been 45 years studying all these heinous lies and fables that they come up against us. And so it's so much knowledge you bring in, and I just want to give Ashe to you. Great work, you know, and the insight. And I'm agreeing with it, and I'm agreeing with Pan-Africanism or perish.
Ashe.
Thank you.
Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. I agree. Ashe.
Thank you. And the brother said, I mean, because sometimes we said I believe, you know, we're powerful and we can win here in these United States and in Africa, especially in Africa. I see nothing wrong with standing up and fighting for our people wherever we are, fighting for our liberation. With the fact that we can win, I think part of, and I'm embracing what you said about they try to just brainwash us into believing
yes.
that we can't win. But in essence, yes. we can win.
Yes.
So, Sante Sana, brother. And I appreciate it. And I didn't know if you had any more elaboration of, you know, how we can implement all these truths that you're sharing with us too. Use that tool for our victory.
In closing, I'll present those in closing.
Okay, I say, brother.
All right,
your great. Work. Thank you, Sante Sana.
All right, my sister.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Abia. Had a couple of the callers on. I guess they got another call. Well, hopefully they'll call back. You know. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're talking today with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix. I don't see too many memes and other stuff they used to have all the time, how we got, you know, how we got hooked up, brother. You know?
Oh, that's because they shadow banned me. I've been heavily shadow banned. That's what's going on.
Oh, okay.
And we expect that, you know, when you're making the rain shoot, you got to deal with the mud that comes with the rain. And that's what I say, you know.
Yeah. I'm laughing, but that's the truth, man. That's it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you know, so often we say mental slavery, we must emancipate ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the white man speaks with a different language. He doesn't call it mental slavery. He calls it socialized. He said Black people need to be socialized. Socialize when the dominant culture exploits their monopoly over information to manipulate the oppressed to think and behave in ways that are beneficial to the dominant society.
Mm-hmm.
Black people have been socialized by the white society. Okay? And socialize is a true science. Throughout history, the oppressors always, those empires that have been brutally oppressive throughout history, have always prevented the oppressed from unifying against them by socializing the minds of the oppressed. And those of the oppressed who do not critically think never notices their mental change. Mental slavery is not just a damn cliche, it's real. But a social scientist calls it socialized. We have to recognize, and they say, they describe it as merely instilling a value system into the collective minds of the Black population that aids the white society in maintaining its control and social dominance over Black people. This is what's happening. And they get us started when we're really young, in the first grade, pre-K, we started learning these stories and we're being taught everything about white people, positive. And what we're taught about ourselves is just slavery.
Well,
we believe we can't enslave rather great empires.
Yeah. I mean, just like us coming up, and I mean, once again, I'm coming up in the 50s, and I'm quite sure the 30s, I mean, the 40s, the 30s, the 20s and so forth, particularly in a public educational system or even in a parochial system or a system that is not truly controlled by African thinking Africans who want to implement a positive African curriculum for the education of those children. Because, you know, when I came up, you didn't hear about anybody but Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. You didn't hear about anybody resisting.
Oh,
you sure in hell wasn't going to hear anything about Nat Turner. You didn't even hear about you didn't even hear about Harriet Tubman because she was resisting. So you heard nothing about some couple of men who were willing to contribute to society, who were a benefit and a credit to their race, you know. And of course you read Sambo, Little Black Sambo. You read other books where the imagery and the iconography of us was Pickaninnies and so forth, you know. So the damage that was done is very severe, and so I couldn't wait, I guess, till the 60s happened. And then Malcolm, I didn't gravitate towards King. I gravitated towards Malcolm.
Yeah.
You know, and I believed in self-determination. And even though I was president of the NAACP in the early 80s when I was on the fire department and working through that until I quit and joined some other more serious African organizations like the National Black United Front and so forth, and the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, even though our whole objective, of course, is to get us on the job and staying on the job and elevated on the job, but also, too, to deal with issues that affect our community, you know. So it's, to me, I've involved myself with mechanisms and ways to change our minds and our behavior. I always said it's about the mind. You hear this, you know, you hear my intro, you hear the ending of the program. You know, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the reason, which is true. And that's the problem that I have always had to grapple with, is that we need to go home. That's ours. It ain't Arabs.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't Indians from India. It ain't Caucasians. It ain't the European Jews. It is ours. And we should have control of it. And if you want some of it, you will pay fair market value price for it, or in a barter, or in a trade, whatever. But it is ours. And yet we have been trained, you know, the Africans on the continent have been trained to believe that it's something outside of where they are on the continent of Africa that is better. They want to get to Europe. They want to get to America. They want to get to wherever hell. I understand, because they look at the conditions, because they lack the because the leadership. A lot of the leadership have been trained by Europeans, and they're neo-colonialists. Their mindset is to do whatever it is, and they benefit themselves. It's just like, I still have a problem with the Democratic Republic of Congo, formerly Zaire, when they had the fight, Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, the rumble in the jungle. When you have Mobutu Sese Seko, you know, and what he had did and Milton Obote, what they did to our warrior, you know, Patrice Lumumba, you know.
Yes.
And who really did it was the CIA. CIA. You know, see, once again, you know, the European, the Caucasian, they know. They know who we are, and they know our potential. But they don't want us to know. They want us to keep us ignorant. They want to keep us believing that this is the best, you know, America. I mean, believe me, all of the social graces, all of the social benefits, wow, America. You know, the lights work.
There's an analogy that I created that I say illustrates what the white society oppressors done to black people.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine there's just someone in a park. He's standing in a park, and someone's throwing rocks at him. He turns around, and he sees a white man sitting on a bench with a bucket of rocks. But the white man could have been saying, no, your problem is not these rocks. There's a man in the bushes who's throwing rocks at you. So rather than addressing the man who's sitting on the bench with the rocks in his hand, the black man starts looking in the bushes for the Willie Lynch man. That's the state of our people.
Yeah.
We ignore, we're not critically thinking. We're not rationally looking at, that's the man sitting right there. That man's in facility to throw rocks at me. That man has a rock in his hand, but he's convinced me to look elsewhere for the problem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Black people have been brainwashed to remove the white oppressors from all analysis regarding our plight and condition. And they created those narratives that were scapegoating, that were victim peddling. So therefore, because we don't want those titles assigned to us, we never look at the white man.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we've been programmed to blame ourselves for our own oppression. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Until we recognize it, we will never overcome it.
That's right. That's right. And that's our problem. We're afraid mm-hmm. to look at the Caucasian for who and what he is, because he has trained us.
Now this, I have to say, so this is not because black people are inferior. No. All people can be manipulated in this manner. All mm-hmm. people can be socialized.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Republicans, how they get the poor of whites to vote against their interests by mm-hmm. feeding them propaganda, sure. propaganda, and they vote against the interest. So this propaganda system affects all, you know. But we are brainwashed through propaganda programming, repetitive propaganda programming, to think in ways that are against our own interests.
But look what has happened. You know, when China was going through its issues, and of course the Europeans were all in China until Mao Zedong kicked all of their asses out, and mm-hmm. he killed those traitors. Many people, oh man, he just killed. Yeah, he had to. Understood, had to. And we do too, family. We do too. You got, because there are going to be a lot of them. Because there's a lot of them right now. If we were given the opportunity to go to Africa, to go home, and to be welcomed by the brothers, not like we went there in the 1800s in Liberia, where we went there and we thought we were better because we had been socialized by Caucasians. And then they thought they were better because they hadn't been enslaved, although they had been colonized. And so there was constant friction that is still there today in Liberia. And so, no, not that way, but a way where we are embracing one another. And realizing we have to share this, that we have to organize this, and we have to control this, and that it is our responsibility and nobody outside of us. Because we really have all that we need. We have all the, American Africans are some of the most technologically advanced Africans on this planet. Yes. And they're also the Africans who have the abilities to help build roads, because some of us have done that, to help build cities and towns and ports and rail systems and so forth. We have that. But yet we need to go home to do that. We can manage the continent, all its resources, all its gold, all its silver, iridium, which is a new mineral that is highly expensive and is only in South Africa and Haiti. In Haiti. Haiti, it was already stated that Haiti was formerly called Hispaniola, but I don't know what the Taino people called it, because, you know, they were wiped out. They were wiped out by Columbus and his boys. They were wiped out. And then we were brought there. And we had the whole island when we had the revolution of 1804, until United States and Spain came in and took the eastern half of the island and called it the Dominican Republic. And you see how they treat the Africans, the Haitian people, and how their mindset is. They so damn color struck. I can't stand their ass, you know. So I mean, we have a myriad of problems, Brother Franklin. We have a myriad of problems, but all of them can be solved if Africans, you know, believe in the unification of us, believe in our collective will and capabilities, all of it. And that's the thing, because the problem we have is the lack of unity. If we had it, all these problems would be solved if we work towards that and believe in that and strive to make that happen. And that the people... I'm sorry, go ahead.
That unity, the goal is to get our people to recognize how we are being kept divided. You know,
Dr. Neely Fuller said, we must overcome the oppressive monopoly over our minds.
Yes.
We must learn how he do it. Our problem is many black people have been programmed to think of it as services and white supremacy. And most of them know they've been programmed. And they fight against those who try to free them from the programming. What we must do is continue to spread the information of how our people's minds are being manipulated. Let our people know what's happening during our education development. Let them know what's happening through media manipulation. For example, the white media's constant unnamed negative picture of black people is not just biased media reporting. It's actually a black racially demoralizing, dividing rule psychological warfare campaign. The moralized dividing rule is a propaganda technique that creates division and self-hatred between the people by constantly inundating them with negative information about themselves. So we go to school and we're educated to believe we come from nothing. Then we turn the news media on. We're the criminals. We're the worst. We're everything.
Right.
We are being programmed. Once our people recognize what's being done, they develop a resistance against the program. It was an ignorance that the program works. And it's by educating our people that they develop means of resisting the program. Tell them what's happening. Teach them what's happening.
Yes. Let me say this, because what you're seeing globally, what has happened to Caucasians, Europeans, is that their numbers are dwindling. They have been experiencing negative population growth. It has already been stated so many times prior that genetically they are inferior. African people's genetics are superior. Our DNA is superior. That's not BS. That's a fact. That's a fact. And they're dying off. When the pandemic, or whatever you want to call it, plandemic, whatever you want to call it, hit them the hardest in Europe, here in this country, because they've already an older population, and they already had preconditions, and so now they're rallying. What you see with Trump, that's white supremacy. What you see going on in Europe, you know, in France, and so in France got the gall. To be so disrespectful for us, I mean, everything that they got comes from us. If it wasn't for Africa, they would be a shithole country.
Yeah,
they still have a lot of settlements in Africa. France does. A lot of them, other countries, you know, they kind of like, okay, you got me. So I'm gonna still find ways to manipulate your ass, so I can still get some resources. I still get some money, you know. But France still has done it overtly. And so I'm saying, you know, we recognize that these things have happened to us, and we are stepping outside, once again, of those imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed on us for us to think independently, critically, to be sovereign, to be self-determining. That's what we must do. That's the kind of program that we need. We need a program that liberates us from all this stupidity and all this madness. But yet, because particularly here in America, particularly here, everything is like what you see now on television. Oh, man, you see a lot of black men and white women. You see a lot of black women and white men. You see.
Now that actually benefits the system of white supremacy. Let me explain. Remember we discussed that our birth rate exceeds theirs 3-1? Now, when they're promoting the mixing, now you have mixed people, and now you have these mixed groups of people, and you socialize them to think the way to serve the white society. Therefore, white supremacy is stronger. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have an army with 500 Caucasians. Now, let's say you add 1,000 mulattoes to it. Isn't that army stronger? So yes, because you see their ability to socialize black people to think the way to serve the white society. Therefore, socializing mulattoes is even easier.
Right, because so they can identify with being white.
Yes, their birth rate is so small. So by promoting this segment to create mulattoes, and then having these mulattoes go on an education system and media manipulation, now you have mulattoes who will stand and defend and fight for the system of white supremacy.
Because that's what you had in Haiti. That's what you had in Haiti, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's why they ran. That's why the Haitian Revolution, they ran their ass out of there and they went to New Orleans. A good movie, listening audience, a good movie. You know, It'll come to me. I hope it comes to me before the end of the program. It's with James Earl Jones in it. And yeah.
Our people don't realize how the white society's monopoly of information is always, we're always being programmed. We don't even realize it. Remember the latest Black Panther? You had brown people and black people have the same enemy, the white colonizer. But never once was the narrative even entertained by unifying against the white society. They're fighting among each other. You know, BS. When we watched the first Black Panther, we saw that the revolutionary was the villain. You know? And the ones who think the way serve the white society, they're able to always put forth a narrative that benefits themselves. And we fall into it. Another reason why many people are revered white in spite of a brutal history to the contrary, but constantly inundated with movies showing white people as heroes, mm-hmm. righting wrongs, saviors. And we're functioning based upon those programming rather than the reality of who they truly are. That's why many of our people revere them in spite of a brutal history to the contrary. And we have to recognize when we're watching those movies over and over, seeing white heroes, how it affects us. It affects us. We have to understand these social
adversely,
science.
Adversely, it affects us.
Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, if you go back, this study goes back to the Tavistock Institute of Human Behavior. Google it, start to learn how these ruling elites learn how you can control the masses through media manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And you can program people to all think the same things by repetition. That same programming is being used against the black population. And in fact, no group are more greater manipulated by the system than black people are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had an African guy come to America. He says, Frank, I never knew that they had ghettos in America. He was shocked when he saw a ghetto. You know, the reason why, because in the media, the global media, they only show the beautiful cities in the Western world, and they only show the ghettos of Africa. Mm-hmm. And by perpetuating this, it just creates the illusion that whites are superior and blacks are inferior. And the propaganda of why Africa is so denigrated, it serves the white supremacy because it makes black people throughout the diaspora, who are the descendants of enslaved Africans, and makes us perceive the enslavement of our ancestors as been a rescue mission. Therefore, we feel indebted to the white society for enslaving our ancestors because we feel it benefited us. So many black people now say, man, I'm glad slavery happened. If it wasn't for slavery, we'd still be in Africa scratching our
butts. That's right, yeah. Yeah, if it wasn't for slavery, we'd still be in Africa with drags. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We know our people are thinking of ways that benefit the white society. And this fact is directly contributing to the white society's monopoly of what's fed into our minds.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand it. It's like the analogy I said, where the guy's on the park, he turns around, someone's throwing rocks at him, he thinks it's someone in the bushes, and he's not focused on the man who's right there who's controlling him.
Right.
The white society controls everything we believe about ourselves. And they're the reason how they keep us self-loathing and self-hating and revering them. And we don't even realize when it's happening. We keep watching superhero movies, white heroes, white this, white good guys, black bad guys. And we've been programmed since we're kids to revere them. We revere them, white people. We're being programmed, and we function within this program, mm-hmm. not the reality. Until our people recognize it. Once you recognize it, you can subconsciously develop a defense against it.
Yeah.
You know, educating the proper knowledge. The awareness, and here's the truth. The truth is like a virus within the system of white supremacy. Because once you learn the truth, it can't be unseen. Once you're told the truth, it can't be unheard.
Right.
The truth changes you, and you can never revert back to believing the lie because the truth won't allow you to. So the goal is to make our people know of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If telling the truth could not liberate us, they wouldn't have killed Malcolm X.
They wouldn't have
killed Dr. King.
That's
they wouldn't have killed Stephen Biko. They're killing our people because they know the truth does have power. There's power in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was no power in the truth, the white oppressor wouldn't be working so hard behind the scenes to keep the truth for the black masses.
Yeah.
We must understand the truth and elevate our minds about biblical fairy tale silly slave syndrome myth and understand that social sciences, the white society exploits its monopoly over the information we receive, the media images we see, and the narratives that we hear. And through repetition, to manipulate and think in ways that serve and protect the system of white supremacy. recognize, we must recognize it. And the fact that we were wearing afros in the 60s, now wearing blonde leaves,
right.
It showed our condition.
Exactly. And when our sisters were wearing their natural hair,
yeah.
They were locking their hair, and now it's all nothing but weave and yeah. Long-ass hair. Just ridiculous.
If our condition today was connected to slavery, it would lessen with each new generation, not worsen.
Mm-hmm.
We are more mentally enslaved today than we were during the 60s.
Yeah.
This shows why this show is not slavery. It's an ideological subversion system that changes the people in ways that against their own interests. We used to love Africa. Now we say, I know damn African.
Right.
Now many of us would be calling, by the N-word, an African.
Mm-hmm.
We call it when it's 50, now we call them on a B-word. We call ourselves by the N-word. The sagging our past is glorifying criminals, glorifying pimps.
Mm-hmm.
Pimps are people who put women on the street to sell themselves, and we're glorifying pimps. Our culture has been denigrated, and we've normalized it.
Yep. It's deep, man. It really is, and a lot of our people just go
clueless.
Along to get along, and they support that
freaking
madness.
Clueless.
Yeah.
But those who know must teach, we just keep speaking and teaching.
That's right.
I know time is up. You got to do your closing. So I thank you for having me on your program. I love you, my brother. I thank you always, my brother. Thank you. I love you. I thank you for having me on. I love your African spirit.
Well, I appreciate you, man. And that's the thing is that whenever I call you and find you always find and make the time to do it, and I appreciate that. And you bring the wisdom and the things that we need to understand, the things that we need to do. And you come in with the truth. A lot of times our people can't, just like in a few communities, we can't handle the truth, you know?
No.
Yeah. We can't handle the truth, man. So, yeah, I appreciate you, dear brother. All right.
I thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you having me also. I appreciate your platform. I appreciate what you're doing, my brother.
All right.
And especially.
Yeah. All right, my brother. Appreciate you. Peace.
Thank you, my brother. Peace.
We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you back here on Friday. Shemhotep. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.